Well, hello, hello, all my bedroom playmates. Welcome to the G-Spot with Mika Ray. And I have my two lovely co-hosts on the line. Tamika, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. And Keroy, are you there?
Yes. How's it going, ladies?
Great.
So great. It's good to hear your voice, Keroy. Thank you for joining, as always.
Oh, no problem, man. Happy to be here. My pleasure.
Well, I am looking forward to the topic tonight. We are discussing having the sex talk with your kids. And I really want this show to be it'll be a four-part series because even next week on Intimate Realness with Mika Ray and Renair, I want us to discuss sexuality, just having to talk about sexuality with your kids because, of course, we know LGBT community is in the forefront of everything right now in the media and books, and kids are noticing there are two moms, there are two dads. How do you have that talk with your kids and discuss it? So we'll talk about that next week, and then we'll come back on the third and fourth Monday and discuss some more pit topics regarding the sex talk with your kids. So how are you two feeling about this topic tonight?
I think tonight's topic is very important. I think that, you know, with everything that's going on in society, I think that parents need to be open and honest with having that dialogue with their children about sex and, you know, the questions that they have, you know, the things that they're hearing and seeing, you know, from their peers or, you know, just from social media. So I think tonight will be a great topic, and I'm interested in hearing, you know, everyone's viewpoint on, you know, how they tackle these, you know, types of issues with their children.
Right, right, right. And I know that Tamika and I, we don't have kids, but Keroy, he has two girls, right, Keroy?
Yeah, that's correct. So that's why this topic is pretty interesting to me, because as a father and having this type of conversation with two girls, I don't know how it's going to be. You know, I thought about that, you know, when we first thought about discussing this topic. I would think, man, how would I even come about presenting anything to them about sex? So I'm very interested in having this discussion. And, you know, it may be able to even help me out as far as a leeway into educating them about sex. So it should be good this tonight.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think that the reason, well, let's just start off. The reason why I wanted to do this show is because I am definitely an advocate of sexual empowerment and discussing sex freely, because the more, if it's taboo, people hide it. And you all know I say this every show, or most shows, I say, if you hide it, you make it seem bad, then when something bad is happening to a child, then they're not going to discuss it. They're not going to tell you, because they don't understand that it's bad. They know that it's bad, but they feel shame. And we want to take the shame out of sex and educate and help people learn and help our children learn that sex is not a bad thing. It's just not appropriate. You know, it may not be appropriate to have sex under a certain age, but it's not a bad thing. So that's the reason why I want to do the show tonight. And I have a little sister. Helped to raise my little sister and my little brother. And my mom didn't even feel comfortable enough to discuss sex with my little sister, even like when it came to her cycle. And my mom was like, Mika, you just talk to her about it. So I went and I bought some books, some kids' books from the library, so I could like go through this book with her and tell her about her cycle. And so it is definitely something we have to feel comfortable enough discussing and telling our kids about. And one of the main things that I wanted to bring up first off is, what are we teaching our kids about genitalia? A lot of times, you know, we're teaching our children to call it the, what, like, wee-wee for penis, or poom-poom for vagina, or, you know, just these terms that really don't mean anything, essentially. Why do we feel so uncomfortable telling our kids, okay, well, this is a penis, and this is a vagina? We give them these abstract names that, in the grand scheme of things, kids don't understand those things either, you know, and then they don't know what happens when somebody touches it wrong or does something wrong with it. They don't even know what to call it, to describe it to somebody if they have to describe it to someone, like describe something that happened to them inappropriate. What do y'all think?
You know, I think that you bring up a very good point. I think that, you know, just because of some of the names that, you know, they use to describe, you know, the genitalia, I believe that, you know, a lot of times parents may not be really comfortable with having those types of discussions. You know, I think that, you know, some parents, you know, they may leave it up to the school, you know, to address those types of issues. So maybe I think a lot of times they aren't prepared to have those conversations. And I think that's where the disconnect comes, because, you know, it's one thing having, you know, someone that you have no relationship with, I guess, to give you the quote-unquote broad overview of what sex is, how do you use contraceptives, what are you supposed to do, what are you not supposed to do. And then, you know, you have your parents or, you know, whoever your guardian is, where, you know, you're living with day to day, you know, they're supposed to have that open communication. And I think the big issue is that, you know, I think a lot of parents these days really don't know how to have that dialogue. You know, what should I say that's appropriate or what's not appropriate? You know, me having this discussion with my child, you know, is that giving them ideas? And I just think that, you know, the big issue is that, you know, parents, you know, just from my personal experience, are just uncomfortable having those conversations, and, you know, they don't want to give their child ideas to go experiment. So I think that's one of the biggest issues that I've seen just from, you know, my personal experience. But, Keyword, since you have children, I mean, what would you say about that?
Yeah, what do you teach your kids in regards to their genitalia, or do you even talk about it? Because that's another thing that I would like for us to discuss is the male's role in a little girl's life when it comes to sexuality.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I haven't had that conversation with them about that yet. You know, but it's so funny that we bring this up because, you know, as far as school, kids pick up so much from other things outside of the household where they do come up with their own terms if you don't teach them, right? Example, actually, this just happened the other day. My godson was saying that his brother kicked him in the nuts. And he was like, yeah, he kicked me right in my nuts and stuff like that. And it just didn't sound right coming from him. So his mom asked me, she was like, Keon, what is another word you use for nuts? Because I do not like how you just say nuts so freely and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And me, I was just like, maybe I would just say, keep me in my pride, and maybe that's how I look more, you know, because he would say nuts so freely because he hears everybody else say it so freely. So that's why I think it is important that we do tackle it at home before anybody else as early as we can, because they really are picking it up in some way that's not true.
Right. I'm wondering if it's more so because just listening to how you describe how she was like, well, you know, maybe you should say, you should have him say private or whatever. She didn't like the fact that he said it in that particular way. I'm wondering if it's more our discomfort as the adult. Are we more uncomfortable with talking about it and using the correct terminology? And even nuts is not the correct terminology. It's testicle, you know. So it's like teaching our kids penis, testicle, vagina, vulva, T teaching them the proper names for their genitals helps kids become more comfortable discussing sex with you, and it also helps them become more equipped with disclosing any type of sexual abuse. So we have to get past our discomfort so that our kids are more comfortable discussing it with us and using the proper terminology. And there was a study that I read earlier that stated that kids who are comfortable talking about their bodies are more likely to disclose when something uncomfortable is happening with them. And that's even, we can even take out sexual abuse. We can talk about yeast infections for little girls, or when boys, you know, they start growing down there, they experience some pain down there, they could tell their parents that. So it doesn't even have to be sexual abuse. It could just be just a discomfort in their their vagina or their penis, and they want to go and discuss it with their parents. They will feel more comfortable to talk to them about it. But if we're not comfortable discussing it, they're not going to be comfortable discussing it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because now that I think about it, there would have been, and now that I think about it more and more, I guess any opportunity you have to educate your child about it, we ought to just go ahead and take advantage of that. Because that was a perfect opportunity to just say, just let him know his testicles. I mean, that would he really know the real name of them, you know, also, you know. So you have a point.
Right.
Like that.
Why not teach them? I agree. Why not take those moments, make it a learning moment, and teach them the proper terminology? Another thing that it said, too, was that when children use incorrect terminology regarding that area of their body, their genitalia, they may be misunderstood. And that is a huge one, too, because I may have taught my child that it's a poom-poom, but somebody else, like, what the hell is a poom-poom? We don't know what that is. We don't understand what that is. We've given it a name within our household, but outside our household, no one else recognizes that. So the proper terminology is more universal and more widely understood. So when a child has to explain something that's happening, then the other people will understand it. If they have to explain it outside of their household, they'll understand what they're talking about.
Right. Well, that is true.
It all.
But like, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, but I was going to ask you, so you and Tamika, have y'all dad ever spoke with you all regarding sex, sexuality in any kind of way?
Has who ever talked to us?
Your dad, your father.
Well, my father is deceased, but... you know, where my mom is concerned, I'm actually still waiting on that talk. I've never had it. So we're, you know, I'm just trying to figure out where we're going with that. But I think for me, you know, I'm the youngest of four. And I think that I've learned, you know, just by watching, you know, or just, you know, listening about their experiences and just the things that I'm able to observe on my own, you know. I've always been quite conservative when it, you know, just pertaining to, you know, my sexuality or, you know, me even thinking about, you know, at that age, you know, am I ready to, you know, think about sex, or am I ready to, you know, delve into that type of relationship with, you know, with a man. So, no, I've always been quite conservative on that. But, you know, I've never had that talk. And I remember many years ago, you know, we've had that, you know, we had that talk in high school. And it was just, I guess, that sex ed. And, you know, we had to get our parents' permission to have someone come in and I guess, teach us what sex is and, you know, the do's and the don'ts and, you know, what happens if, you know, you get pregnant or, you know, what are your options and things like that. So I just think from my experience, I really don't think that, you know, the conversation that was given, I guess, in the school setting, I mean, it just, it was very, you know, just generic. You know, I don't think that they really got into, you know, well, what are you thinking? What is your perception of sex? It was just, you know, hey, this is sex, you know, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. And I can only imagine, you know, the questions, you know, the just the questions and the thoughts that were going through our minds, but it wasn't an open forum where you could ask those questions and figure out, you know, have I experienced that? Am I doing something wrong? Because at that age, I mean, we were thinking about, you know, sex and boys and relationships and things like that. So I really don't think that what we were taught in school, I don't believe that it really facilitated the type of conversation that needed to be had at that time. So
I don't know.
What would you say?
You brought up another good point, too. It just made me think about the fact that, like you said, you still waiting to have that conversation. You know, I have noticed a lot of adults do not understand what the genitalia is. They don't know the proper terminology themselves. And that is very sad.
Whoa.
Like, a lot of adults don't. They don't, like, a lot of women cannot look at a picture of a vagina and the internal pieces of the female reproductive system and be able to name those pieces without it having to look it up. So we're not even, like, the adults are not as educated enough, and that's probably where a lot of the discomfort comes from, because no one ever had to talk with us. So no one taught us how to have that conversation with our children.
And
because they didn't talk to us about it.
But I think there's one other perspective that I think that needs to be brought to the attention, where I think our parents just came from a different era. I don't think that their parents, you know, sat them down and, you know, let's talk about sex and let's talk about your urges and let's talk about, you know, what your parts are and the good touch and the bad touch. Just even from the adults in my life, it was just, parenting was just different. You know, do as I say and not as I do. I think that a lot of our parents were parents at an early age, and you know better, you do better. And I think that just parenting, you know, many, 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 many years ago, it's just different than it is. So I think that that's one of the reasons why a lot of older people really just shy away from having those types of conversations because they would agree with your mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn, I wanted to learn about that.
Go ahead, Keyword, then I'm going to go back to something. Go ahead.
I was just agreeing with what Tamika was saying about, you know, how it was back in the days. Like, with my parents, they weren't trying to even bring that to my attention because I never had to talk. You know, so it just seemed, it was just different back in the day. They kind of shied away, as Tamika mentioned, away from subjects like sex and all that to children, especially when I was younger, you know. Even when I was a teenager, you know, even my dad, he never really sat and just had a conversation with me about it, you know. So things were different back then.
I wanted to go back to something real quick because I forgot to share this story when we were talking about the names of sex. And a lady shared a story, and, of course, like I said, I was reading a few articles earlier today, and this particular part of the article stood out. The lady said that she had been, she had been sexually abused as a child, and the only word she knew for vulva was cookie. So when she tried to tell her teacher about how someone wanted her cookie, the teacher told her she had to share, which goes back to why it's so important for kids to understand the proper terminology, so that they're not in school calling it a cookie and people are telling, well, if they wanted, you know, whatever, you need to share it. And now this kid is all messed up in her head thinking, well, my teacher told me I had to share my cookie.
Hey, you know,
so it's
so
like
funny
we
about
have
that.
To teach kids the proper terminology. Mm-hmm.
Right. So say this out. So this kind of goes to what you just mentioned about that. But this is good, though. This is a guy. He's like he's pretty much like my uncle. My uncle, he's kind of slow. Like years ago, my great grandmother and her family actually found him tied to a tree. You know, now back in the days, a lot of the families, they didn't deal with slow kids and stuff like that because they was ashamed of them. So they found his name, we call him Snoop now. So they found Snoop tied up to a tree. And we still don't really know his age. We don't know how old Snoop really is. But my family ended up taking him in. The family ended up taking him in, and they raised him as our own, you know. So I had a cousin who introduced him to sex or whatever. So she told him that, you know, having sex is like, she told him is rubbing her feet. So when she said, come over here and rub my feet, he'll go over there and he'll have sex with her because that's what he thought sex was, rubbing her feet. So he ended up getting pregnant. Right. He ended up getting my cousin pregnant. And when they asked Snoop, how you get Charlene pregnant? I just rub her feet. So it was like you can easily influence people to have all kind of different names for different sexual acts or parts or whatever. And they'll grow up believing that stuff, you know. But that was just an example. I mean, he kind of slow and all, but it just reminded me of that, how she told him that having sex is rubbing her feet. Now, anytime you mention rubbing her feet, he think it's sex. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's very important. We have to be honest. We have to say, okay, what is sex? What does sex look like? What are some of the things? And maybe we may not want to go into detail, but we can say there are some things that your body may experience. And then what are those terminology? What is the terminology for your body parts? And, okay, so, Keyword, you asked the question earlier, and I also want to make sure people know I did write in here a trigger warning because I don't know who is out there that may have experienced some form of sexual abuse. So if you're listening to this show and you have experienced some of that and it triggers anything in you tonight, make sure you disconnect the call. And you can always contact, if you have a counselor, contact your counselor. You can always contact myself, and we can discuss it privately. Or, you know, just like I said, kind of, I just want to make sure that warning is out there so people will know. But you asked something earlier, Kiva, about dads talking to us about sex. My dad is not a big part of my life. So we, of course, never had the conversation about sex. It's just because I chose not to in some parts. But I remember one particular time he picked me up and we were going somewhere to the store or something. And I'm sitting in the car. You know, you're a kid. I'm like maybe 11. And I'm sitting with my legs kind of open. I wasn't sitting like a lady. You know, ladies supposed to close their legs and cross them and all that kind of stuff. But I had on jeans, so my legs were kind of open. He looked at me, he was like, baby, you need to close your legs. That's about as far as we got anything feminine, sexual. Ladies don't sit like that. And I'm like, okay. So I closed my legs, but that's about all the sex talk I got from him. And then my mom, like I said, she had me talk to my little sister about sex. So when it was time for, like, puberty to hit and, you know, you get ready to have your cycle. I had my cycle early. I was 11 years old. So my mom, well, first, I could just even take it back further than that. It was just, I was in school because I developed kind of early, breast-wise. I was developing kind of early. I was 7 years old when I wore my first bra. And my grandma, she was like, you know, she said to my mom, she was like, you may need to go and take that girl to get a bra. So my mom was like, okay. So she took me and we got abroad, but I remember in school, kids would, and it's not funny, it was horrific to me, and I'm just sharing this, but little boys would try to touch me, like touch my booty, grab my breast, and I'm like in the first and second grade.
Wow.
In third grade. And I'm like running to where my teacher was, because we would have to walk. Anytime we had recess, we would have to walk a long way back to the classroom. And I remember every day that I'm like, I am not sitting. I'm not going to be the last in line, because if I'm in last in line, the teacher can't watch you all the way in the back. I would have to, like, run up to the front by my teacher so these boys would not try to grab on me. Because I developed really, really early. But I was uncomfortable. Yeah. I couldn't discuss that with anybody because nobody talked to me about sex and nobody told me anything. I didn't know anything. I knew it didn't feel comfortable and I didn't like it, but I didn't know how to tell someone about it.
Wow, so you couldn't tell your mom about it?
No, I didn't even tell my mama. I was afraid. Yeah. I'm like, well, maybe, I don't know, I'm thinking I'm doing something wrong. I don't know, it was crazy. So it was bad, but I was like in the first, like maybe second grade in these little boys. So it's just hard-headed little boys and just very grown little boys. Manish little boys, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, what can I say, man? You know us boys, man. We start there. I don't even lie to you, man. We like them girls. We do crazy.
Listen,
you know.
But we can't.
Some of y'all be liking
it. That it's cute. We give boys a pass when it comes to sex. And I think that's another thing. They learn that from a very young age, that it's okay. That, oh, boys are going to be boys. And if he hits you on the booty, he just likes you. You know, that type of stuff. But that's not appropriate behavior.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
So we have to stop giving little boys that pass, because they grow up into adults who think they have that same pass and that they can do anything sexual to a woman that they want to. So we have to make sure we're teaching kids at a young age and teaching our little boys that, no, it's not okay to feel on a little girl. No, it's not okay to grab on her breast. But no, it's not okay to touch on her booty yet. That's not okay.
You know what, though? I'm going to tell you something, though, Shamika. See, you're right, it's not okay. But, you know, as a little boy, when we touch on them girls and they let us doing it, for us, that's like a signal that it's okay for us to do it. Now, when a girl tell on us and we get in trouble, you know, that's a bad thing. We just know not to deal with that particular girl no more, you know. But anything that let us do, we're going to keep doing it.
You are, but you're also excusing the behavior. And you're excusing the behavior, which has created a mindset for little girls and little boys. So little girls may not tell because in their head, this is the way boys are supposed to be. And it's okay.
We don't think like that as little boys. You know, we don't think about what's bad enough. We just try to find what girl let us get away with. And I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying as a little boy, that's the way we think, you know. So if a girl tell on us.
We have taught little boys as a society that a woman's body is a sexual thing. So little boys, of course, you don't consciously think of it, but it's a subconscious thing. It's ingrained. It's, like, integrated in everything that we do. Women are objectified in the media, in the books, in everything. And then the little boys see the way their moms are being treated, so they're thinking it's okay. But like I said, it's subconscious, of course. It's not something that is consciously spoken and talked about. But I'm going to bring a caller on, 9728.
Hi,
there.
Yes, I am. Hi, this is Shay.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I wanted to comment in reference to what Kiro was saying in reference to the boys touching the girls and which ones let them and move on. But, you know, it's the same little boys grow up to be grown men. and, you know, and not trying to, I guess, disrespect the parents, but it still goes back on that home teaching. And some of the parents, and, you know, just with the way things are now, you got children having children that was never educated or never really taught, you know, a lot of things. And it's the same thing because, okay, you know, he touched me. I didn't like it. Should I say something? You know, or now I didn't say nothing. So now he don't went and told the other little boys, or the other little boys saw it. And like you said, Mika, the little girl went and said, you know, well, he's trying to get my cookies. And the teacher said, oh, well, share. You know, that's what happens. And then, you know, they, the little girls.
I think her phone cut off. Oh, okay. There she goes. I think you kind of cut off on us.
Oh, okay. I was just saying that, you know, it kind of goes back to the home training. I don't know if y'all heard that part. You know, if the kids are not being taught properly, you know, it just, or if they're shy, they're, you know, more shyer than some of the other kids, and one little boy do it, and then it's like, okay, well, she didn't say nothing. So now all of the little boys going to be touching on her.
Right.
You know, so it is still, you know, it goes back to that conversation that you have with your parents, and we're not doing enough of that. And then we want to scream and yell when the schools try to do it, and they say, you know, it's left up to the parents to do it. I don't want the school teaching my child sex education. Well, you're not doing it either.
Right. So where do they, and where do we expect for our kids to learn it from? And I say sex education starts at home. It has to start at home, because we don't know what these teachers are teaching our kids. Right. And, you know, it starts at home, not even from just the conversation. It starts at how we model our behavior, how we modeling sexual behaviors in front of our children. How are we modeling safe relationships in front of our kids? What are the behaviors we're teaching our children? That's essentially where it all begins, and then it carries on to the actual conversation with your child.
Because I know my son is 31, and when his great-grandmother kept him, and then the summer before he was to start kindergarten, I put him in daycare so he could get adjusted to being around other children. And I had a very brief conversation and, you know, talked about his body parts and letting him know that, you know, no one should be coming in the bathroom with you, and, you know, someone, you know, try to touch your penis, you know, you need to let the teacher know. And if it's the teacher, you know, the first parent you see, let them know, you know, if I'm not there, you know, just, but, and that's just kind of how I left it. And I thought I did a good job. Well, one day I come to pick him up. He comes flying up to me. Mommy, Maria was in the bathroom with me. And he went to a Spanish daycare, and, oh, my God, that lady liked to have died. She just started screaming, no, mommy. He needed toilet paper. I took him toilet paper. And I'm standing there like, so I was like, well, Tavares, did she bring you toilet paper? Yes, there was no toilet paper, and she had to bring me toilet paper. And I'm like, okay, something here I ain't do right, because that's not quite what I meant. But he did do what I told him, you know.
At least he told the truth.
Right.
Better safe than sorry.
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, so we have to, you know, And, you know, and I talked to his father, and we went, and I talked to my brother, and they had a better conversation with him, I'm sure, than I did. But, you know, we have to start at home because kids get so fearful and they don't talk, you know, for whatever reason. They don't tell when someone's bothering them. You know, I don't know if it's your demeanor, you know, maybe you're a strict parent. But you need that safe haven, you know, okay, if you don't talk to me, you need to give that child a person that they can talk to, you know, and not to say they don't want to talk to you. Maybe you're not around. And we have to designate somebody in their lives so they can tell, you know, this is happening, you know.
Well, we do have another caller, so I'm going to bring them on. You can stay on as well. 1573. Hello, 1573.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Okay, so did you guys touch on, I came on a little late, like 20 minutes after, did you guys touch on, like, what is the appropriate age to start talking to your child about sex?
That was going to be my next, our next topic, so we hadn't got to it yet. We can go ahead and get to it.
Okay, well, then I'll pretty much touch on, you know, the things that I already heard about, you know. My thing is, I was speaking to my coworker today. We was actually having a conversation about this because I was talking to him about coming into this group tonight, and, you know, he was, like, interested in what it was about or whatever. And we was talking about, like, young ladies and young men in this subject and how if you're, like, a single mom with a male child, you know, you can be, like, mom in the world and think that you can implement everything that young man needs. However, they're not, I don't see a woman really being able to give that male child that understanding that another male can give to that male child. Because if you did your part as to letting them know what girls have and what boys have, what males have and what females have, however, they're going to be, like, kind of questioning, like, how you know? You know, they're not looking at, you know, you older and, you know, you're more wise or whatever. They're going to be like, you don't have the same thing I got. How you know how I'm feeling? You know what I'm saying? So I really feel like it would take another male to actually explain to that male child. So it's good to have that outlet, you know, that could come in and express and help out. You know, you could tell your male child some, but you would need a male to actually complete that.
I can understand where the caller is coming from because I may have questions. I would really prefer that when I was younger, the questions I had, I never asked my dad. I just asked my friends at school about certain things because I felt like they could relate to me more, you know. But this is when I got a little bit older in age, you know, when puberty started setting in and things like that, where I felt a little more comfortable talking to another male about it, you know, to see if they experienced and what was it and things like that. So I think the mothers can educate you to a certain point where when you get older and start experiencing things regarding your body parts that the mother can't relate to, you probably will want to speak to another male about that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's very – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I couldn't hear you.
No, I was just saying he's the one I wanted to hear from. Thank you.
Oh, great. Oh, good. I'm glad he was able to answer that question. I do find that we, as a society, and I don't know if, well, let's just say this. I don't know if it's just me and being raised in the South or if it's just society as a whole. But I think that we have an issue or a concern with males discussing sex with kids. And I feel a lot of that comes from, you know, the fact, that we have an overwhelming amount of male abusers. And I don't know if that's just me, because, like, my mom is the type of mom, she's like, she wasn't going to allow any male in the family to bathe her female kids, to spank her female kids, to change their clothes, to do anything where that little girl's body is exposed to the male. And I don't care if that's the daddy, the uncle, the brother, that's just not what she was about. So when I go to work and I hear parents, my coworkers, and they telling me, like, yeah, he bathes my daughter, you know, he bathes our daughter all the time. To me, that's strange to me. And I'm like, I would never let a male bathe my child. But that is because of those misconceptions. And you have to ask yourself, is that something we should be really shielding our men from? Because they are just as much the parent as we are, and our male parents should feel safe enough to bathe their child, and feel comfortable enough to have a sex education talk with their child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Now, what I cringe up is when the one that allowed the male to bathe their daughter, they're not even related. You know, she's just dating this guy and she let him bathe the daughter. I mean, that kind of stuff I was there with. Even when it comes to watching little girls, I guess it's based on the trust level, you know, but still something to think about. Even if you allow the guy you're dating to even babysit your girls, sometimes that can be kind of iffy, you know, depending on the circumstances and situations. Because there's so much of that crazy stuff going on, you know. Because I had a best friend, someone who was like my family. Even though he wasn't watching her, we trusted him where he can come in the house without having to knock on the door and all this. And we called him with his pants down. You know what I'm saying? And we never would have suspected. So you got to be real careful with some of these guys out here. You just never know where they're lying at.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think that was a great question. And thank you, Kiwa, for taking the time to answer that for her. And I do want us to talk about how soon is too soon to discuss sex with our children. And I like to say as soon as possible, because kids are, like, we come out of the womb curious about our bodies when we can finally touch, you know what I'm saying? And you'll see little kids and little boys touching on their vaginas, little girls touching on their vaginas as, you know, early as like 15 months sometimes, maybe a little younger than that. And it's because it's something there, it's their part of their body. So I think as soon as a child can talk, you should be discussing some form of sex education, even if it's just to say that, you know, when you're in front of, you know, in the public, you want to keep your dress down. Little boys, you can't put your hands down your pants. You know, just the generic type of stuff that you would say to a child. And then discuss good touch, bad touch, as soon as they can talk and understand what you're saying.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah. I agree,
you know,
because it's not.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I want to add, you know, we talk about.
Hang on, Shay, because I think Kira and the other caller were trying to talk. So, the other caller, go ahead and say what you're going to say, then Kiroy, then Shay.
Which other caller?
You.
Okay. Okay, yes. I was just agreeing with what you were saying, because I have a daughter, and, you know, I didn't have a problem with her dad or even her granddad, like, giving her a bath when she was young or whatever. But other than that, it was like nobody else. Don't look at her, don't touch her, anything. And I knew a lot of that had to do with what happened to me as a child. And so I became, like, really overprotective of males around my child. Like, she rests against her dad's leg, but it was, like, in the inner part of his leg. And I snatched her, you know, from between his leg, and I was like, no, you be on this side, on the outside. Mm-hmm. And it's not like she understood, because she was only two. And this was definitely, I could sit on his lap, be in between, on the side, whatever. But it was something that just triggered me, you know, which, like, no, you have to be always on this side or this side, never in between here, you know. And she always remembered that. I mean, it's so much children take in that we don't even realize that they remember everything from, like you said, my daughter was talking in 8 months. So even mm-hmm. though she didn't walk until week after one, and her understanding, like, okay, you can't walk to the potty, but you could crawl. So get to the potty if you got to go. You know, and mm-hmm. they understand a lot. They take in a lot. And I taught her washing together, what, you know, her parts were, what, you're going to have these soon, and this is off limits, this is off limits. And as she grew, I just kept implementing and making her understand what was no and was okay. And for the most part, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my feedback?
Sorry to hear.
I don't know.
I'm not sure whose phone is that, but hang on 1 second. Let me see.
Hello?
Okay, hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wasn't my fault.
Yeah, I think it was my other caller's phone. I'll bring her back on as soon as Kiroy finished saying what he had to say. And I do want to say I'm sorry that happened to you. And I hope you receive, you know, you were able to work through what happened to you.
No triggers. Don't worry about that. No triggers
okay,
at
great.
All. I was in therapy for a long time. I'm good.
Okay, good.
Did,
I'm glad to hear that. Good
I'm
to
good.
Hear that.
Did
and Kiroy, go ahead.
I was just saying that she did bring up an interesting point. You know, regardless how young a child is, you know, once you put that seed in their head, you know, if they grow older and older, you remind them, they stick to them. So, to be honest, with you, I really forgot what I was going to say in the beginning. but just listening to the caller, though, I'm like, man, you know, she got a point, because if you tell the younger they can understand, the sooner you can go ahead and just start telling them about that, about the sex thing.
Yep. And one of the things that I, you know, was thinking about, starting from the ages of 3 to 5 years old, kids are very curious about their
mm-hmm.
body, like even more curious. So they may be looking at other kids, you know, and trying to compare or understand, like, why does yours look like this and mine look like that, you know. So 3 to 5 is a great time as well to discuss sex, but maybe discussing a little bit more in regards to body parts, what it
mm-hmm.
looks like.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it different
yeah.
from the little girls next door, you know, telling your son, you know, why yours is different than the girls next door, you know, that type of thing. I think is a great time to kind of introduce that. And then it's a whole step-by-step guide that I will post in the group so you all can kind of read through it and see that step-by-step time frame of what kids are going through and what they're thinking about, and as well as when it comes to their development and then things that we should be covering at those time frames with that particular child. So I'm going to post that in the group now because I have it. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask y'all this. I mean, so as females, would y'all be comfortable with your dad talking about sex with you all? Would y'all even be comfortable with that kind of conversation with your dad if he was to bring it up and explain to you what it's all about?
I'm not one that I can answer that question fairly because, you know, like I said, me and my dad didn't have the close
relationship with
growing
dad.
Up. So right. I don't know how I would feel. I would feel like he can't talk to me about anything. So, you know, I can't answer that question fairly.
Yeah, because I was thinking, man, maybe the mom should talk about it with my daughters. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could play a part in it too, but in some form or fashion, I guess. But as far as to initiate it, I don't know. I have to think about that.
A lot of people don't know how to talk about it, period, man or woman. And I did bring Shay back on. Shay, you're back on if you had something to say.
Okay, yeah. I was going to comment in reference to, like, being careful with our daughters, but we have to be careful with our sons, too. You know, it's not only the little girls that are being molested. You know, the little boys are being molested as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to protect them all. And to answer Keroy's question, I feel I had a great relationship with my father, but we never had that conversation. Our conversation was, if you get pregnant, you're getting a homemade abortion.
Oh,
and that was the gist of our sex conversation.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't even think, because I asked my father once about my brother because I thought he was gay. And I might have been about 14. And the logistics of that conversation was, no, he just sensitive like his mama. So, you know, so I don't think, I don't know if I would have been comfortable with having that conversation with my dad. And, like, now my mom is 73, and we were out to dinner, and we were talking about Jamaican men, me and my sister, and I thought we were talking low enough, but mom done jumped in there. She's talking about, ooh, child, this little Jamaican boy I used to date. And I'm like, what, mama world? And I didn't want to hear that, you know. And I'm like, and I'm looking at my sister, and she said, girl, she talk like that all the time. I just got up and left the table. Because I'm like, really? So I think I would have been more comfortable, like Keroy said, talking to somebody in my own age range. Maybe an older sister, older, you know, cousin or brother. But my parents, they didn't talk about it. So I think it still goes back to that relationship, because my niece, she allowed her 5-year-old to go in the delivery room when she had her second child. And I was like, I'm like, this is too much. But again,
I think that is a lot.
Yeah, but I guess it's based on the era that you were raised in. You know, so.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, but a lot of parents do that. Let that old, that the oldest child go in with that second. I guess they think that's cute, you know, making it family thing. And I don't know. But, you know, like you say, you know, at what time do you start having that conversation?
Yeah.
I'm scared to watch a woman have a baby, so I don't know what that little 5-year-old was thinking. Lord have mercy. I would have fainted.
Exactly. Really?
Yeah, I did a delivery at 17 in the house, and I almost lost my mind, so I can't even imagine.
Mm-mm. Oh, gosh.
I didn't even know what was going on. I was so inexperienced. I thought she was constipated because she kept saying I had to go to the bathroom, but it wouldn't come out.
Wow. I know one thing. I'm glad y'all women got that, you know, not me. Y'all can have that.
I'm sure you are. Y'all's job is easy.
I would like to say something towards, you know, what we're speaking of about the dad's part. For the most part, for female children, for me, I felt that it was my responsibility to show my daughter and, you know, her body parts, because we have the same body parts, but also to show her the male body parts at, I believe she was like at 6, you know, because she has male cousins, and she's going to see it and wonder why we got different stuff, you know, no matter of fact, at five years old. But when her dad stepped in, it was a little later, like at 8, you know, when he's the one that spoke to her about boys. And how boys are and what they do and, you know, what they cannot do, what they will not touch and, you know, stuff like that. So she got, you know, a bit of both parts, because he could explain the guy's part to get her to realize that, you know, when boys hit you, it's probably because he likes you, not because, you know, he's being mean or whatever. But it's where you get hit is when you punch him in the face and then tell the teacher. And I'm like, no, tell the teacher first, you know. So we had different, you know, things on that, you know. But that's the dad. That's his baby. It was like, you're not touching here. You're not touching that one. You're not touching there. You're not definitely not touching back there. So, you know, it was a piece of both of us. And by the time she was... You know, it was like, okay, there's nothing else I really need to know. But by the time she was 12, it was a whole lot more she found out, because I put her on the computer and showed her what different type of STDs look like, made her write about it and everything, because this needs to be implemented, because children are having sex as early as 10 years old now.
And sometimes earlier than that, we're all sex. Sometimes kids are starting at 6 and 7 years old performing oral sex, or what they call oral sex, on each other. So, yeah, it has to start earlier. And a few people I have posted in the group that they will start at the age of 10, or they're starting at the age of 7. I mean, well, yeah, about 10 or 5th grade, something like that. And I still think that is way too late, because by now these kids have formulated their own ideas. By the time a child is 10 years old, kids have the thoughts in their head what they've learned from their friends or what they've seen, you know, online now, because kids are exposed to things so much quicker. We have 3-year-olds that know how to work cell phones, you know, and can get online. You know, so it's like we have to get in there as soon as we can So our children aren't learning the wrong things and formulating the wrong ideas about sex before it's too late, you know, and before they're out there doing something. And then we're looking shocked, like, what? You know, the 10-year-old is pregnant. And it's like, yeah, they're pregnant because everything is just so much, everything is just accessible now.
Really,
sex is accessible, much more accessible than it was when we were kids. Like, I didn't start thinking about sex until after 13. And I was like 16 years old when I started thinking about it. I was still playing with Barbies at 13. I was still playing with my little dolls and everything.
You're sending you as body humping with your clothes on.
No! I wasn't thinking about anything sexual at 13 years old. I just really wasn't. That's just, I don't know. I just wasn't. But these, I wasn't. I don't know why. I just wasn't.
Your dolls didn't even kiss? Like Barbie and Ken.
No, I didn't have them really kissing either. I just wasn't into all that. I know, as much as I talk about sex now, you would think I was not a sexual being.
A long time, so.
Because there's nothing. There is nothing wrong with running away until a later time. You ain't got to be a little fancy, May.
You're right about that. It's nothing wrong. And you know what? I'm going to tell y'all something. I met a woman who was in her 30s and was a virgin. And that was something very foreign to me. I've never met anyone that was a virgin. Actually, I don't think I've ever met a virgin that's an adult. So I was shocked.
Really?
I didn't even know what to say. I was like, oh, congratulations, because that is a long time.
Is that something? Now, was she a virgin voluntarily? Or, I mean, what was the reason for being?
She wanted to wait till she was married. She's not married yet. And I applaud her because, I mean, with all of this temptation, honey, I applaud her.
Oh, she's heterosexual.
Yeah, she is heterosexual.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say I met 140, dated, but she wasn't heterosexual.
Oh, yeah, because, I guess you're right. We do see a lot of lesbian women that may be virgin, you know, to penetration. So I still don't call them virgins. They ain't had sex. They just didn't have penetration. That's my only thing. But, yeah, I met somebody like that, and I was very shocked. I was very surprised, but I do applaud her, and I applaud those that are out there wanting to wait. So did anyone else have anything else they wanted to say about this? Because next week, you know, we're going to go on a few topics. So I'm going to bring up some other things like the STDs that are running kind of rampant in the teenage world, like a high rise of HSV 1 and 2, and warts. And a few other things that are out there, like a lot of the kids are exposed to and are getting because they're not having protective sex. And next week we're going to talk about sexuality, having the sexuality talk with our kids. Because that is something, too, I think is really hard to discuss, especially for heterosexual couples. And what about heterosexual Christian couples who don't believe in same sex and they have a child who's like, you know, I seen Johnny has two daddies and how is that possible? You know, and how do we address these things? So that's what we're going to talk about next week. But anyone else want to say anything before we wrap up the show tonight?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good, man. It was a good show.
Very interesting.
Yes, Mary. Yeah, I didn't want to be too old. You know, I didn't want to get too, you know, too out there with the age. So I'll leave mine for the teenage topic. Because my thing was like how what was your reaction when you find out that your male child or your female child is no longer a virgin? Like, you know.
That's
going to
be a great topic.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, because I
that is an interesting one.
That's like a question you really don't want to ask, but it's pondering, you know, like, yeah.
I know my parents were
shocked.
Well,
I know.
My parents were shocked.
We've never had to talk. So as far as I know, my parents don't think I'm having sex. So, because we don't talk about it. So I don't know what they think.
While she was driving, wrong move. Wrong move. She pulled over so quick to take it. She just pulled over.
Oh, Lord.
So I think
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait. So I hope you all have a good night. Make sure you join us on Saturday from 11 to 1 with Brunch in the Basement with Javon. And then on Sunday evening shout from 6:30 to 8:30. And that's with Javon as well. And then I'm back on Mondays at 10 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. And it's WJBR. And I hope you all have a good night. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you
good
so
night.
Much for the question.
Good night.
I'm sorry. Is that Javon?
Okay, I'm here. What were you saying?
Is that Javon in the background?
No.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know, how do I get linked up with the other talk on Saturday that you brought up? Because I get alert for you, but not for the other person.
I'm going to post it. Are you on the group?
I'm on your group.
Are you in the, you are on my page? I'm going to post it I'm going to post the page. So you can like the page.
Okay.
The Blog Talk Show page. And
okay.
All of the shows are posted on there. Hang on.
Okay.
Let me do it right now. And I'll post it for you in the actual invite that we're on tonight.
Okay.
And that way you
okay.
can like the page and you will get the update.
Okay, great. Okay.
All righty. Thank you for asking. You know we appreciate you.
Yes, good night, everybody. Thank you so much, Mika. I adore you. Be a thing, girl.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night.